Each day as we go about our work. May your gracious presence surround us, and may your obedience to your word be a joy, not a burden. May the depth of your grace and the width of your love and the height of your joy inspire us here and now to more fully be your people. Now, by gracious goodwill, we look to you for guidance. Heavenly Father, empower us with the Spirit. We pray as Jesus taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As I promised, today I'm continuing with the third message of a series on prayer. Last week I asked the question, what does it mean to ask in the name of Jesus? To ask in the name of Jesus means we pray as his representative. It means we pray according to his will. It means we have his approval for what we ask. We ask to know what Jesus would do. We desire what God desires, not for ourselves, but for his glory. When we pray in the name of Jesus, our desires are controlled by the Holy Spirit, and they are in harmony with what Jesus would do. This Sabbath, I have another question. Does God always answer prayer? All of us believe that God does answer prayer, but does he answer only some prayers? Or does God always answer all prayers? The answer is, God answers all prayers. We know that Jesus gave a sevenfold invitation to pray. 2 weeks ago, we read each one of those invitations. They're found in the book of John, chapters 14, 15, and 16. Jesus said, You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus told us that the riches of God are ours for the asking. However, he never said that God will always give us exactly what we ask for. Every parent knows that to give children everything they ask for is a recipe for disaster. It's inviting trouble. God's answers to our prayers can be yes, they can be no. His answer can be wait. It may be that God has planned a much larger blessing than you've imagined. And that blessing will likely involve the lives of other people as well. When God says no to your prayer, does it mean there is willful sin in your life? Well, that's between you and God. But most often, God's no answer is because your request is improper. It might even be selfish. Sometimes, in fact, we don't know what to pray for, which is why Scripture tells us the Holy Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. As an example of an improper request that was turned away was when the mother of the disciples, James and John, asked Jesus if her sons could sit next to him in his kingdom. Do you remember how Jesus responded? You don't know what you're asking. Sometimes God's answer is wait. And wait is not a denial. God determines the timing of his answer. Sometimes he delays his answer. Other times he even answers before we ask. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever experienced an answer to prayer before you asked? It happened to me. Now I'm going to embarrass Laura. God answered my need for a marriage partner, even though I had not asked. Yet the answer was yes. Sometimes we don't recognize a yes answer until days, weeks, or perhaps even months after we receive the yes answer. God knows our desires, and he knows what we need in our lives. Whether his answer is yes, no, or wait, God is faithful to answer our prayers. And his answers will always bring him glory and honor. We need to pray intelligently. Some good Christian people seem to lay common sense and reason aside when they pray. What are you saying, Pastor Michael? Example. How should God answer two believers living in the same town when one prays for rain and the other prays for clear skies? God cannot answer yes to both requests. God's answers to our prayers can also be directly proportional to our spiritual maturity. Should you expect God to answer your requests when your life is focused primarily on upward mobility? Should you? Suppose that you have no time for spiritual concerns because your life is so busy. It's true. Some believers are too busy to have time for God in their lives. Will God answer their requests? Will God give them a spiritual gift, knowing that that believer is not going to use that spiritual gift for his glory? Will you give your own child a gift, knowing that your child is not ready for that gift or capable to use that gift? When a young son asks a father for a razor, you know where I'm going. A wise father will say no. We don't give a razor to a boy until he is mature enough to use it. Our Heavenly Father also may tell us to wait. God waits for the right time to give a spiritual gift. Now, I want to get to the heart of today's message. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. We read it earlier. I would like to read it again. Oh, how great are God's riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible is it for us to understand his decisions and his ways. This verse is so true. God's wisdom and knowledge are beyond our comprehension, and the method God uses to answer prayer may be beyond our ability to understand, but we still know something about the way God responds to prayer. And before I elaborate on what that means, let's remind ourselves of how little we know about ordinary things. As a young man studying chemistry, I was amazed at how little we understand nature. I marveled at how this world was put together. I marveled even more at the way nature works. I noticed how many scientists were proud simply because they could describe the direction nature will proceed given a particular input. However, the reality is that scientists know little about anything relative to the depth of knowledge it took to create even the most ordinary parts of our world. Do you realize that we don't even understand what water is? We describe it as H2O and say that H2O is made up of hydronium ions sharing electrons with oxygen atoms, and that individual water molecules have a special dipolar attraction with hydrogen bonding. Big fancy words. That's it. That's how we understand water. Where do the hydrogen and oxygen atoms come from? What holds an atom together? What is an atom? We don't know. We have theories. We describe what happens when water molecules dissolve an ionic compound, for instance, sodium chloride. And we use formulas and descriptions, diagrams to describe what nature does. But we don't know why. We don't have a clue. Nature is a black box. We give it an input, and it gives us an output, and we have no clue as to what's inside that black box. Do you know we don't know what light is? In fact, we have two totally different theories to describe how light moves. One theory proposes continuous sinusoidal waveforms that carry light energy. The second theory proposes discrete packets of energy called photons. So one is a continuous sinusoidal waveform. The second theory is discrete packets of energy that flows through outer space from distant stars to the Earth. And the scientists, they switch from one theory to the next, depending upon which theory better describes the direction of nature given a particular input. We don't know why electricity is. We don't know why magnetism is. But we use these naturally existing phenomena every day. We don't allow our ignorance of nature's secrets to prevent us from harnessing nature. Similarly, we don't understand how God, as a spirit, can interact in our physical world. And we don't understand the method God uses to hear our prayers. But that doesn't stop us from praying. We don't know how God can hear the thoughts in our minds. But again, that doesn't keep us from praying. We know that God, through the prophets and the apostles and his son, have taught us what we need to know about praying. We know that God sent the Holy Spirit to teach us all things. And so we know how God answers prayers. What? You heard that correctly. We know how God answers prayers, kind of like a black box. One way prayer is answered is by supernatural intervention. Sometimes God intervenes. He steps in and actively answers prayer. I believe in miracles very much. God set this world spinning on its axis with magnetic poles and gravity and rain and a sun that is placed exactly 93 million miles away to warm us once every 24 hours as the Earth rotates to a position so that the radiant energy from the sun will warm us once more. If Almighty God can do all that, don't you think he surely has the capability of supernaturally answering prayer? By the way, we don't know what energy is either. We don't know really why we have the ability to differentiate the sensation of hot or cold. We describe these things with words and chemical formulas. And then man's arrogance goes wild. And they say God doesn't exist just because they found formulas that describe the output of this black box given an input. Excuse me? Those arrogant scientists don't have a clue as to why the black box functions, nature. I believe in miracles. They happen, and I'm saddened that many of our Baptist brethren and other dispensational evangelicals limit God. In fact, they teach that miracles ceased after the apostles completed their work in the first century. Okay, never mind that stuff. That's going down a rabbit trail. Let's stay on track. Another way God answers prayers is that he reveals his mind to those who pray. That's right. God's Holy Spirit puts fresh ideas into the minds of people who pray. Okay, so you've heard people say, the devil made me do it. Don't you think that God can give you good thoughts also? Don't you think that if we can transfer our thoughts from one person to another verbally, or through the written word, or through gestures, or through facial expressions, don't you think that God can also convey his thoughts to us? Certainly. Prayer gives God the opportunity to speak to us and tell us his particular will for us. And God has a lot to tell us. And often he does so by putting his thoughts into our minds. But you must open your mind to receive what God wants to put in there. May our attitude toward God be like the prophet Samuel when he said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." A third way God answers prayer is similar. God often answers prayer by putting thoughts into the minds of those whom we pray for. Very similar. So I'm going to continue the story about my wife. A few years back, when some of the church ladies, I'm not going to name drop, but some of the church ladies, when they learned that Laura and I were engaged, they told me that they had been praying for me to notice Laura and fall in love with her. That is exactly the truth. Their prayers were answered. The Lord God Almighty whispered to me that Laura loves me and that she should be my bride. And I'm not sure how God whispered that into my mind, but it happened. His message came through loud and clear, and the prayer of those good friends was answered. There were three ladies. Two of them have passed on into glory. One of them has passed up to the northern section of the country. And now, after 7 years of marriage, I deeply appreciate their prayers. There are many stories we could mention when prayers are answered in this manner. When we pray for someone to turn their life around, or to turn to Jesus and repent, turn to Jesus as their Savior, then the Holy Spirit will place the right thoughts into that person's mind that will convict them and prompt them to decide to make a decision, to repent. And this next way, a fourth way that I must mention, but I want to explain this fourth way that God responds to our prayers with a story. One bitterly cold winter, a prosperous farmer was praying that God would keep a neighbor family from starving. That starving family had experienced a run of misfortune. When the father's prayers were over, the prosperous farmer's little boy looked up at his father and seemed puzzled. "What is it?" asked the father. "Son, you have a look of concern on your face." The little boy responded to his father, "Father, I don't think you should have bothered God about our neighbor." The father was taken back by the comment. He was concerned about his son's apparent lack of compassion. The father wasn't sure how to respond, so he simply asked, "Why not?" "Because," said the son, "it would be easy enough for you to give them food so they won't starve. Often overlooked, but immensely important in our lives, is the fourth way God answers our prayers. We are the answer to many of our own prayers. There is no doubt that if we pray for others, we should be willing to do something as well. The son in the story was correct that his father was the answer to his own prayer. But let me suggest, however, that the boy was incorrect by suggesting that his father had no need to pray about the situation. God desires to hear our petitions, regardless of the manner he chooses to answer them. The truth is that God has left most things for mankind to do himself. God provides the process by which plants produce food and seed for the next crop, but humans must collect the seeds and prepare the soil, plant the seeds, nurture the crop, and then harvest the crop. God can do anything, but he chooses us to give most tasks to. God also doesn't think for us. I'm very glad of that. God never writes truth directly in the clouds. He never emblazons scientific formulas on a clear blue sky for us to read. The laws of science that we have learned have always been there. We just need to learn what they are and realize that they are there for the glory of God. We need to learn to experiment and learn these laws of nature for our own good and for God's glory. We need to work. God placed copper ore in the sides of mountains. He did the creating. We need to do the work of digging the copper ore out, purifying it, and turning it into magnet wire for motors and cable to use for electric lines and communication devices. God obviously wants us to work and to think, but he also wants us to ask, and it shall be given to you. God's expectation is that we ask. It's easy for me to see from the way this world turns on its axis, the way the world works, and what I read in Scripture, that we humans can cooperate with God's plan for this world. First, by working. Second, by thinking. And there's a third way, and it starts with the letter P. You guessed it. Praying. And I feel strongly that the most important of the three ways is by praying, the greatest way that we interact and cooperate with God's plan for this world is by praying. God gives us his Holy Spirit in fullness. God gives his Holy Spirit to men and women in fullness who pray. It is through the power of God's Holy Spirit that we find answers to prayer. And the answers may come through supernatural intervention. The answers may come through God placing the answer into the mind of the one doing the praying. The answers may come through God placing the answer into the mind of the one who is being prayed for. The next one, which used to be my favorite, but I realize it can create a little arrogance, so it's no longer one of my favorite. It's just an important one. God's answer to prayer may come without the need for God to place the solution directly into the mind of the one praying, because the person praying is so in tune with God's ways that the solution is obvious. He or she is the solution. Stop praying for others to be the instrument and allow yourself to be used in this kingdom. And I suspect if I were to ask you for more ways that God answers prayer, then I would likely hear more wonderful answers in addition to these ones that I've suggested today. My suggestion right now is, may we allow God the opportunity to place His mind into us, and may we never doubt the power of prayer. Amen and hallelujah.
Of those whose anxious